So to help us illuminate this point of bridling the horse, I'd like to read from another paper of Murshidaniyat Khan's called Personal Power. This again is an unpublished paper, but I'm happy to share it with anyone who may want to write with me. Write to me, I won't publish it online. By personal power, what do I mean? The power of thought, the power of will, and the same expressing itself outwardly. So here now Murshid is talking about the internal and the external. So the internal, as we worked with the practice Kasab, helps to illuminate our intentions, our motivations, our actions, and then they are given expression outwardly. It is therefore that the sages, in order to develop personal power, give one key. And that key is to the whole mystery. This key is the control of every impulse. One must check the wrong impulse, even as small as the thought of eating something that one likes, the wish to drink something that one wishes, an impulse to talk back to a person who insults, an impulse to pinch a person by saying a word, an impulse to hurt a person by cutting words, an impulse to get into the secrets of others, to find out the secret of others, the impulse to criticize. All such undesirable impulses can be mastered. And it is not that one has mastered them, but one has gained a power over oneself. All such undesirable impulses can be mastered. And it is not that one has mastered them, but one has gained a power over oneself. We might take this as a task even for the next month to watch this impulse, these impulses that arise, and to ask oneself, do I need to act? Do I need to speak? At this moment, do I need to eat this thing? Do I just want it? What part of me wants it? Yeah? What part of me wants it? So, I think it's a good practice. It's not an easy one. Much easier said than done. But we might take that up. And you know, those that might have a connection to the Catholic faith, either through your own root religion, or perhaps through your friendship with someone, knows that this practice is often given during Lent, the time of Lent, in preparation for the time of Easter, where we come in union with this path of Jesus, this path of who could say that anyone renounced more than he did. He renounced his own life. And what happened? He didn't speak back. He didn't defend himself. But he was resurrected, which one can take. I don't want to get into religious theological arguments here, but one can look at that from many perspectives, what was being resurrected. In Sufism, we talk about Thana, the annihilation of the small self, Thana. It's exactly what we're talking about here, the annihilation of the small self, and Bhaka, resurrection. Life is full. Everywhere we look, if we so choose to see life that way, with little crucifixions. It can be a bed of thorns. Or we can choose to see the roses and smell the fragrance. It's perspective. So personal power. Rishit's talking about it here. How do we gain that? Through self-control. It's not easy. We know that. It's especially challenging when we feel we've been misunderstood or misjudged. We want to defend ourselves. But there may be times that you in your own life remained silent, for you felt that not doing so would make a deeper impression or create further argument. And in the end, I suspect it resolved itself. And the truth came out. Murshid Hidayatullah Khan often says, truth needs no justification, but falsehood spends a lot of energy justifying itself. So this concept of Thana, surrender of the small self, and Bhaka, resurrection in the higher self. We can do this in many different ways, but today I thought we would use the English words that have a correspondence to the Arabic words qaza and qadar. Qaza is divine will. Qadar is personal will. But we can also say it in this way. Not my will, thy will. Not my will, thy will. This surrender. Trying to lift the veil of the illusion of appearances and see what that divine impulse is and align with it. Not my will, thy will. We can say this aloud together, but as Mudita said at the beginning when asked the question, what are some of the methods that we can use to develop mastery and willpower? The answer was breath and putting a phrase on the breath. So we'll say it aloud a few times, and then we'll fall into just the breath. And you know, when we activate some small gesture of the body, some traditions call that a mudra, some traditions call it a body prayer, but it can just be a gentle bowing of the head and lifting of the head. This bowing of the head, of course, is a gesture of surrender, and the lifting of the head is rising towards that divine light. So again, Thana, surrender, annihilation, and Bhaka, resurrection. So with the phrase, not my will, we can bow. Thy will, we can raise our heads. Not my will. Thy will. 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 Now we can think about this practice and take this practice in many forms. It can be about ourselves personally. Or it can be some relationship that we have. Or perhaps we know someone that is ill or suffering in some way. Not my will, thy will. Is there a divine purpose in all of this? And we spend a lot of energy trying to fix it and work with it and sympathize with it and sometimes even pity it, which is a deadly form of, can be even condescending to people. It gives us a feeling of superiority over them. But what we're seeking is true compassion, true insight, true loving. It's not always ours to fix. Sometimes being a witness and holding this thought of thy will be done, thy will be done. Again, let's repeat the phrase, bowing the head. Not my will, thy will, raise the head and the heart. Not my will, thy will. 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 And just silently, breathing out, not my will, emptying. Breathing in, thy will, filling, rising, and out, not my will, emptying, and breathing in, thy will, opening. And just continue on the breath, breathing out, not my will, thy will, or like Diane, she completed, thy will be done. You can add that to the phrase if you so wish. It's very familiar to us from the Lord's Prayer. Use the breath, control the breath with the phrase. Remember, development of mastery and willpower, as well as circulation of the phrase on the breath. To all levels of one's being, emptying, not thy. My will, filling with thy will, breathing in. Allow this phrase to come to you. Remember it. Remember it. Remember it. Surrender. See how it feels to let go of some of the stress and the strife. To open up to that divine purpose, divine insight. From one view, bad things happen to good people, but is there a blessing in it as well? Is there something that it's causing us to remember? Some part of us that opens up in loving kindness or compassion? Some part of us that realizes that we're not as in control as we would like to be or think we need to be? But in that, there can be a great blessing, a great release. Not my will, thy will. Bridling the ego as one bridles a horse. And when the horse and the master become one, it is a glorious connection. We see that in the physicality of a masterful trainer with a horse, and in a masterful person, a human being who has gained some element of control, self-control. Continuing with the Gatha on this teaching of training the ego as one trains the horse. For training the ego, it is not absolutely necessary to abstain from all physical desires. The idea is to master the desire instead of allowing it to master one. The complaint of every soul and the remorse of every soul is always the same thing. The enslavement of man through yielding to his desires. One allows the desire to master one. When one identifies oneself with the desire, and one pities oneself, which makes things worse. One allows the desire to master one when one identifies oneself with the desire, and one pities oneself, which makes things worse. Hazaradanayak Khan says, the worst poverty is self-pity. The worst poverty is self-pity. I'd like to also say something here that isn't exactly on the point, but it does relate and it's coming to mind, and therefore I feel that I should say it. The same thing is true. In last month, we talked about the mind and impressions and what thoughts we keep alive in the mind. And Murshid was talking about this idea that if someone has had a failure and they keep repeating that, holding on to that concept of failure in their mind, they're doomed to continued failure. But then he also gave the example that we could, a wealthy man who once has failed doesn't ever consider that a failure. They consider that a transitional point, and they know they will succeed again, and therefore they do. This can also be said of such things as healing. Be careful how you say things to yourself. Form does follow thought. So instead of saying, I will not be ill, I will not be ill, I will not be ill, you say, I am healthy and whole. I am healthy and whole, because to say I will not be ill gives the impression that one is ill. You understand? So now you take this. I will have abundance and prosperity in my life. I will have abundance and prosperity in my life. I will have love. I do have love in my life. I do have prosperity and abundance in my life. I already do, not I will even. I do. I do. I have love and prosperity. I have health. Everything I want is mine. The divine wishes it, and I will it to be with the divine will. You see, talk to yourself in these ways. Sounds silly. Don't do it on the street. They'll call the men in the white coats for you. But talk to yourself. Much better to have those impressions than what else can go running around in the dark places of shadows of the mind, the storehouse of memory.
The Bible says, beloved, above all things, I wish that thou be prosperous and healthy, even as thy soul prospers.
So that's it.
It's God's will.
It's God's will.
Sickness is acceptable in any way.
That's right. And yet the body, you know, I think about it. It's like, you know, I love my car. I really do. It's been a great servant. It really has. It's been a great friend. But it's getting older. And, you know, one of these days I have to let go of that car. It's just going to cease to function. And one of the days I'm going to have to let go of this car, this vehicle, because it's going to cease to function. But does that mean I cease?
No,
we are eternal.
Immortal.
That's exactly right. So we know, so then we see, oh, maybe I have an insight to sickness, old age, and death. This is like my car, and it's an opportunity to get a new one. Interesting. I will cease to exist. All right. So again, reading from the teaching on personal power from Anayak Khan to help illuminate perhaps more this teaching, to go deeper and deeper into it. Murshid says, we're going to wait till the big dog finishes his scratching here. We have a lot of ambient noises. The weather's quite nice. And so we have the windows open, and in the neighborhood we hear the lawnmowers and different things, so it's we are live after all. Okay. Well, Leo, station break. Okay. Often one gives one's secret to another uselessly. Afterwards, one repents for it. Murshid has a beautiful body of teachings, you can look it up online, about keeping a secret. The power that can be gained from keeping a secret. You know, as soon as you tell someone something, there's something of the magnetism or the power that gets dissipated. Maybe it's even a commitment that you've made to yourself. I'm going to go join a gym, and I'm going every day to a gym. Or I'm going to lose weight, or I'm going to do whatever I'm going to do, you know. Well, maybe just it's enough that you know that. You don't have to tell someone to confirm your commitment. They'll see it. No need to say it. Because sometimes impressions can come that can create an obstacle to in this. There's subtle things at play here in the mystical world.
One's own ego.
And one's own ego can self-sabotage, certainly. Can be quite humiliating. We all know that in some ways. Yeah. So mom's here, my mother's here, and she said sometimes when you say something to someone, instead of someone seeing that perhaps there's a struggle or a faltering on your part and encouraging you, sometimes they will criticize you. And that can discourage someone even more. So best, silence is golden. Silence is golden. So again, Murshid says, the power lies in refraining from the impulse of speaking. It's a good one. Again, this is in relationship that all such desirable impulses can be mastered. And he's talking about here such as the impulse to talk back to people, the impulse to insult, use cutting words, to want to know someone's secret, to criticize, and all of these things that we do. We do. We have to acknowledge that and make a commitment to make a change, a very determined change. That's the best way the will can be used, is the struggle with oneself, not the struggle with others. So all such desirable, undesirable impulses can be managed and mastered. And it is not that one has mastered them, but one has gained power over oneself. There is another advantage. The power lies in refraining from the impulse of speaking. Often one gives one's secrets to another uselessly. Afterwards, one repents for it. Sometimes one uselessly has a quarrel with another. Neither the other has gained, nor he himself. Sometimes one criticizes another before someone. And then it goes on to the third and the fourth one. Everybody knows it. Nothing is gained, only everything lost. Sometimes also there's a desire for food, a desire to drink, a desire to sleep, a desire to walk, or a desire to sit. Every one of these little desires can be checked. And by checking them, by keeping them back, by controlling them, one can attain to this power of personality. So just asking oneself.
Does it go into coherence that within 6 feet, your heart is so coherent that it transforms everyone within you?
Oh, I think it can transform the whole universe. I think it is an ever-extending rays into infinity and beyond. We don't even know, you know, we don't even know where the edge of that universe is. I mean, there's those theories that it's self-creating itself constantly in an outward motion. We can send that out with that, our love and kindness and gratitude. Mm-hmm. Gratitude also. By power of personality, your words become living. by glance, by touch, by every move you make an effort. Okay, listen to that again. Everyone has these little desires that can be checked, and by checking them, by keeping them back, by controlling them, one can attain to this power of personality. By power of personality, your words become living. By glance, by touch, by every move you make an effect. Kind touch on a shoulder, cheek, loving glance to someone. Nice word. One more short paragraph because it's very potent. He gives us some caution here of what not to do. He's told us what to do. Then he goes on. Very often, people like to find by occultism or by psychic science the way how to develop willpower. But willpower is only developed by refraining from impulse. Willpower is only developed by refraining from impulse. A person who refrains his impulse can be free from all insolence, all rudeness, all disrespect. And what is insolence? Insolence is the germ of bad luck. Because insolence is a kind of cloud. It always brings a person down. Very often, the rude and disrespectful person is a slave to his impulse. It is his impulse at the time. He cannot help it. And afterwards, he repents. Especially when a person is not able to keep his secret. He has much to suffer in life. Because that power in keeping a secret is most helpful. The power of keeping secrets. Don't necessarily boast. No pride. No vanity. I would say no titles, no robes, no special hats and special shoes. Am I being insolent? I don't know, perhaps. But you know what I'm saying. We can just be. Especially when a person is not able to keep his secret, he has much to suffer in life. Besides that, if there is a desire, an ambition, an inspiration, if it is kept secret, it flourishes. It grows. It rises. It becomes fruitful. But when it is spoken about, it is lost. Personal power. Personal power. So let's return to this practice on the breath, lowering the head, not my will, thy will, not my will, thy will be done. Breathing out, not my will, thy will. Emptying and filling. Bowing to the ground and rising up. Bowing in all humility and being raised up. The democracy of the personality and the aristocracy of the soul. True nobility. My will, thy will. Hear our prayer, hear this plea, not my will, thy will.